Good morning. I'm happy to be here today, and I hope you are too. It's wonderful to come together to worship and praise the Almighty God who is here with us today. He loves us. He cares about us. He's provided a home in heaven for us. He is worthy of all of our praise. Amen. What do you think about when you hear the word restraint? Loss of freedom, someone telling me no, someone blocking my desires, someone limiting my options. Maybe you think about loss of pleasure. In a society of instant gratification, when you think of restraint and pleasure, you think of denying yourself or missing out or being too strict. Maybe you think of weakness and fear. Thinking of someone being timid and passive and not able to seize the moment. Maybe you think about old-fashioned morality, outdated rules, religious guilt, boundaries set that are no longer what society is today. When you hear restraint, maybe you think of being controlled by others, having something imposed upon you. Parents have control. Bosses have control. The law is given and has control. When we think about restraint, the world sees restraint as loss. But scriptures teach that restraint is strength and wisdom and freedom. And that contrast between the world's view and scriptural view is what opens the doorway to help us understand that Christ-like restraint is not imposed upon us, but it is chosen inwardly. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And as we think about restraining ourselves, I want us to continue our study of the Sermon on the Mount. Let's read verses 1 through 5. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Who are the meek? Well, as we talk about restraint and meekness this morning, first I think we need to have an explanation of meekness. You know, the literal Greek term means mild or gentle. But it means so much more than that. Meekness cannot be described in just one word. When we think of being mild and meek, so many times we think of weakness, and meekness is not weakness. The Greek word carries no such meaning. The Greek word talks about strength, and talks about humility, and talks about submission, and talks about being able to soften your approach. And as we talk about meekness, the term in extra-biblical language was used to talk about the breaking of a wild animal. So strength under control. Well, what about today? Well, as a husband, I choose to listen instead of defend myself. In arguing with my wife, oh, I may have the verbal words to totally defeat her, but I'm more concerned about reconciliation than I am about being right. And she finds my restraint as a source of protection and not of fear. Or what about as a parent? I have power and authority. I could crush my child and discipline them. But I choose to lower down to them and speak softly and gently and leading them into wisdom. Or what about as a friend? Oh, I receive a harsh comment from my friend, and I could lash back with something sharper. But out of respect for the friendship, I don't because I value the friendship so much more. Strength under control. As we think about meekness, meekness towards God is submission to His will. And there's so many words that go along with it. Albert Barnes says, meekness is patience in reception of injuries, patiently bearing insults or injuries with belief that God will vindicate us. Dr. George Lawyer said, meek ones are mild, gentle, tender-hearted, patient, with an attitude involving a quiet, willing, cheerful obedience and submission to God. But there are so many terms or words that could be used to describe meekness today. There are so many. It can't be described in just words. We have patience, long-suffering, humility, gentleness, mildness, deference, graciousness, strength under control, and absolute obedience and submission to God. So when we talk about meekness, it can't be described in one word because it can mean and cover so many different things, all of which are correct, depending on the context of where it's being used. I think the best way to illustrate meekness is through biblical example. Do you remember Moses? In Numbers 12:3, it says that the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. God said Moses was the meekest man upon earth. But Moses wasn't timid. He wasn't passive. He wasn't effeminate. He stood up and was strong. Or what about Jesus Christ Himself? In Matthew 11, verse 29, Jesus described Himself as, "I am meek and lowly in heart." In John chapter 2, verse 15, Jesus formed a whip of cords and drove out the sheep and the oxen and the money changers and turned over their tables. In Matthew chapter 23, He attacked very harshly the religious rulers of the day. In Mark chapter 3, verse 5, He was so angry with those in the synagogue who objected to Him healing a man on the Sabbath day. I think Peter sums Jesus' meekness up best. He said, when they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. Jesus, the greatest example of meekness we have. Well, we illustrate meekness, but I think we can define it by examples. So let's notice the implications of meekness. Amplification is the use of examples to illustrate an idea, an opinion, or generalization. And when we talk about that, let's notice several different ways meekness is implied that gives us an example of such. When Moses was being challenged, let's turn to Numbers chapter 12. Turn over to Numbers chapter 12. You know, when we're told Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth, let's put the whole thing in context. What is occurring in Numbers chapter 12 is Aaron and Miriam come confront Moses over him being the only one in charge. And Moses, instead of retaliating and speaking harshly against them, he held his tongue and relied upon God to show his leadership. And you know, when God realized what had happened, it said when His presence left the temple that Miriam was covered with leprosy. Now let's notice the meekness of Moses. He could have stood back and said, well, she got exactly what she deserved. Have you ever said that about anyone? They got exactly what they deserved? Do you remember how Moses reacted? Look down in verse 13. It says, and Moses cried out to the Lord, oh God, please heal her, please. Moses went to her defense, pleading with God to take away the leprosy, pleading with God to heal her, when Moses was the one attacked. When we think about meekness in examples of such, what about Jonathan in releasing the crown? Remember, Jonathan was the oldest son of King Saul. He was heir to the throne once his father died. But King Saul lost his throne because of disobedience to God, and God gave the throne to David. How did Jonathan respond? He could have taken up the army and attacked David and tried to gain the throne, his position, by power. But no, he accepted God's decision. And the last thing he said to David was, "You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you." Strength under control. When we talk about examples, and we talk about being in control, what about as the object of cursing? Ever had anyone curse you out? Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And let's notice another example of meekness. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, David, his family, some of his soldiers, and the people were fleeing from the temple in the city of Jerusalem because his son Absalom had started a coup. And as they cross over Jordan, there's this man named Shimei, a Benjaminite, who starts cursing David and casting stones at him and throwing dust up in the air and blaspheming and cursing at him. And one of David's commanders says, "Let me go take off his head. Let me go cut his head off." Do you remember how King David replied in 2 Samuel chapter 16? David said, beginning in verse 11, "And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, 'Behold, my own son seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite? Leave him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will look on the wrong done to me, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing today.'" David said, "Leave him alone. Maybe God told him to curse me. But maybe God will make something good come out of that." How have you responded when someone cursed you out? Cursing back? Getting angry? Meekness under control. Strength under control. When we think about exclamations of meekness, what about during the crucifixion? Jesus hanging on the cross. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I think we have the greatest example of meekness in all of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 27, let's begin reading in verse 39. Jesus is crucified. He's hanging on the cross. And it says, "And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross.' So also the chief priest with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him.'" Jesus, the Son of God, crucified on the cross, and all these people are making fun of him and mocking him. He could have called 10,000 angels. Instead, the perfect example of meekness, of strength under control. I think Peter summed up Jesus best. In 1 Peter 2:23, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." All those people reviling him while he's on the cross, he didn't revile in return. He didn't threaten them. He trusted in God. When we're being mocked or made fun of, do we just turn and trust in God and not retaliate? As we're talking about meekness and looking at examples, I want us to notice there are many exhortations to meekness given in God's holy word. Many places and in different ways that we're exhorted to be meek in spirit. I want us to notice five different ones. The first one is by the word. The word of God encourages us to have this virtue of meekness. In James 1:21, James says, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." You have a heart and mind open and ready to receive the instruction of God, and then you follow it, and you obey it, and you grow thereby. Or what about during watching of a brother, being the watchman of a brother? You know, as Christians, we have a responsibility to watch over one another. We have a responsibility to each other to help us stay walking righteously before God. Paul told the Christians in Galatia, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." There's our Greek word there for meekness. Spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves lest you too be tempted. When you go to restore a brother, you go in love. And you go in patience. And you go ready to forgive. And you go in all humility, realizing you can be tempted to sin in the same way. Being a watchman of a brother. What about as part of your daily walk? We should have this virtue in us every day. Paul wrote to those in Ephesus, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." As we go through our daily lives, as we do our work, we're to possess this virtue of meekness. We're being exhorted to do so. Well, what about how wives are to adorn themselves? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, it talks about a woman being married to an unbelieving man. And it says that that man may be won without a word. Once you teach him about Jesus, then you don't nag him to death about it. Let it be your character and who you are. Peter said, "Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle," some translations say, "of a meek and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." Or the fifth example is what about while witnessing? To do it with all humility. To do it strength under control. Peter said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear." When you're sharing your faith, it's not to be done aggressively or lifted up with pride and arrogance. It's to be done with all humility, loving kindness, trying to teach people about Jesus. And finally, as we consider this beatitude, let's notice the expectation of meekness. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, there's two views there. Well, really, there are many views. But the views in Scripture teach that those who are children of God, those who possess this virtue, more readily appreciate and enjoy all the things of the earth. When we look at the earth and the beauty of it, all being the creative hands of our God, David said in Psalm 8:3, "When I look at your heavens and the stars and the moons, the work of your fingers, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him?" David said, "When I look up into the sky at night, and I see the moon and the stars and everything you have put in place in the vastness of the universe, the power in your hands, what is man? Someone so insignificant in comparison to all that you're mindful of Him. He said in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. When we, as children of God, possess meekness as a virtue, we see the creation and the beauty of it, especially coming in the spring as all the flowers will come up and bloom multiple colors and the trees, all the different shades of green, that we can appreciate it so much more knowing that it was done by the hands of the God we love. The other view is, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Shall is future tense. Something we will inherit. That the meek shall inherit the earth. Do you remember when John on the Isle of Patmos had the mighty revelation where he got to see heaven? In Revelation 21:1, John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the former heaven and the former earth had passed away. So we, as children of God, as we walk faithfully before Him, yes, we shall inherit in our future home in heaven above. As we talk about blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's look at ourselves. Do I possess this virtue? Am I meek in spirit? Do I show it in my everyday life, in the people I meet and the people with whom I work? Or maybe I need to come back to God and come back to Him. Maybe I need to repent of sin and seek His forgiveness. Maybe today you're ready to put Christ on in baptism, fully immersed in water, to have your sins washed away, to rise and walk in newness of life, Acts 22:16. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Do you need to make your life right with God so you're standing heir to what you shall inherit? So, we ask you to respond to the front as we stand and sing.